A Touch from Above would like to invite you to our conference in May. When your heart is hit, don't quit. May 23rd, 24th, 25th. The cost is $225. For $225, you'll receive lodging for two nights and meals for the entire conference. The Word of God says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Dr. Luana will be speaking throughout the whole weekend. She will share her experience in ministry. Through much heartache, she never quit. Are you weary and need encouragement, direction? Come and join us May 23rd, 24th, 25th. There's limited space and limited cabins, so you need to call and sign up as soon as possible. 760-315-1967. 760-315-1967. Or visit atouchfromabove.org. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Luana is the president and founder of A Touch From Above. Her burden for America has caused her to dedicate 25 acres to build a place of prayer, Prayer Mountain in Ramona, California, where God's people come from all over the world and pray. It's exciting to see. We also have a university to equip God's people, a church, and this radio program, which reaches millions daily. Dr. Luana's conviction is to always preach the whole counsel of God. As she is ministering, the Holy Spirit is moving upon the hearts of the people to turn them back to Him. Together we can reach the world. Thank you again for listening. We appreciate you. Please contact us at touchfromabove.org, atouchfromabove.org. And now it's time to set your spirit on fire and let Dr. Luana Steins guide you to a life of purpose and fulfillment. To reach Dr. Luana Steins, call 760-315-1967. That's 760-315-1967. Or visit atouchfromabove.org. Now, Dr. Luana Steins.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Dr. Luana, and this is A Touch from Above, right from Ramona, California. God richly bless you. We're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday by God's wonderful grace. And all this week, I'm preaching a five-part series, God Hates Pride. God Hates Pride. Really quick. It's important that you understand that. You know, the Bible says here, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit, he will retain honor. You know, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I shared in our first series, if you missed that, you want to be able to go on to our website at touchfromabove.org, find part one, God Hates Pride, part one, and you want to take all of these and listen to each one of them because it's so important. You know, we have a nation right now that is just plagued with the demonic spirit of pride, and pride destroys. I want to share a story really quick here. I've been in ministry for over 40-some years by God's wonderful grace, and the first thing I did, probably about a year after I was saved, I started a woman's Christian home. And then it branched out to a second women's Christian home and a third women's Christian home. Well, we heard about a young lady who her husband was very abusive. And this young lady who had a beautiful, beautiful baby girl. I mean, at that time, she had these beautiful little blonde hair. She had this beautiful little blue eyes, and she was just a doll. And the mother, she was just as beautiful as well. But she was so broken. She was broken because of the abuse of her husband. So we ended up taking her into the woman's home, and we kept her there for her safety, and she began to pray for her husband. Well, her husband was so full. He was on crystal meth. He was on heroin, and he was just out of control, completely out of control. And I'm telling you, it was just so crazy what happened. All of a sudden, he would come to the woman's home and he would say, "I want to talk to my wife. I want to talk to my wife." And we, of course, we were always really close by because we never knew he was out of control. So he would get mad at her. He would scream and holler at her. And he just put her through so much torment. But that woman was a powerful prayer warrior. That woman would fast and pray and fast and pray and fast and pray for her husband. She really loved her husband, but she couldn't put up with him. That's why she went into the women's home. Well, one day he came to see her, and he was pitching a fit, screaming and hollering. And I went out there. I said, listen, you need to go. Oh, my goodness. He was mad at me. He did not like me at all. He said, who do you think you are? And I looked at him, and the Holy Spirit came over me, and I gave him a word. I said, today you are full of the devil. I said, but one day you're going to be completely set free. And God is going to use you to proclaim his word. And he's going to bring you out of that darkness. And you know what? He got so mad at me, turned around, walked away, screaming, hollering, and cussing. And you would think that that was a weird word. But lo and behold, I think it was about a year later, God brought that man to his knees. How did he get to his knees? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. In a prison cell, all of a sudden, he hit his knees in the middle of that prison cell, and God came over him. But let me tell you a little bit about what happened. Because he was this strong, he was white, but he acted like he was Latin. He hung around with all the lowriders and all of the Mexican people, and so he was like in gangs. So he even had a Mexican accent. You know, listen, let me tell you something, you know, God, you know, he said that something would come over him. He said he could feel it, that all of a sudden this strange thing would come over him and he would rise up inside. He said, and he was fearless. And so he would fight. He didn't care how many. He was vicious. He would fight. He would fight two or three guys at one time, and actually he would win. And people got to be really fearful of him. Well, in the meantime, his wife is really praying for him. So what happens is he ends up doing drugs. He ends up in this woman's home. He's having an affair with another woman, and the wife is still praying for him. But you know what? They end up quarreling over a gun. And all of a sudden, this anger came over him. He went to grab the gun, and she went to fight with the gun, and the gun went off and shot her right in the face and killed her. Well, he was absolutely in shock. He ends up, the police come, the whole works. He ends up almost getting a life sentence. He ends up in jail. He ends up going to court, and he back in jail, and they're trying to go through. In the meantime, the wife is praying. She is praying. It was an accident with the gun. The gun, he didn't mean for it to go off, except they were in the middle of an argument because of the demonic force of pride. That gun went off, shook him, shocked him, and that fear gripped his heart, and now he's got almost a life sentence in prison. So he's in the middle of prison. He is crying out to God. You know, he's got this demon spirit still tormenting him. And one minute he wanted God, the next minute this thing would come over him. One minute he'd want God, but this thing would come over him. And the same time his wife is praying for him, he said, all of a sudden, he said, in the name of Jesus, deliver me from this hatred, deliver me from this pride. He said, all of a sudden, he stood up on his feet, lifted up both of his hands, opened his mouth, and out of his mouth came this gigantic roar, like, ah! He said, and that thing left him. Can I tell you, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Well, needless to say, God spared this man. God opened the door for him to get back with his wife, and it was a miracle of God's grace. Yes, he did prison time, but you know what? They had planned, he was on for life. But God, in his grace and in his mercy, because he truly repented, God brought him out of it. Now, you're listening to my program today. I know lots of people throughout these years that don't come out of it. And one of the ones that's in the Bible didn't come out of his pride. And I want to take you into the story of Saul. Here is a man who God anointed him to be king, made him powerful man, gave him great position, but then God tells him something by the prophet. He says, and Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish the Amalekite for what he did to Israel. Now how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. And then God told Saul to go to the Amalekites and destroy everything. We're talking everything. Everything that lived in that city, destroy it. Every single person. Now, you and I may not understand that, but we don't have to understand it. There was a vile corruption that God wanted destroyed. And then after a while, what happens? Well, Saul goes in with his, we're talking 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. And then Saul said to the Canaanites, go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Seir, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. What did he do? He took the king alive. God told him to destroy. He took the king Agag alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul, got to listen to me, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they destroyed. What happened here? Saul did not obey God's voice. God told him to destroy everything. But you know what? That's what pride does. Pride says, well, you know what? That's fine. I'm going to destroy the people, but I'm going to take this. We're going to take the king with us, and we're going to take all the good sheep and the oxen and the fatling and the lambs and everything that's good. You know what? Just collect it for yourself. You see, Saul disobeyed God. Now, let me tell you what happens with pride. Pride begins to justify themselves above the word of God. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried out to the Lord all night long. So when Samuel rose in the morning, now remember, Samuel's the prophet. Now he's going to go see Saul early in the morning to meet Saul. It was told to Samuel, saying, Saul went up to Carmel, and indeed, he set up a monument for himself. Excuse me? Be careful. Be careful when you start to set up a monument for yourself. Be careful when you get too big for your spiritual britches. Be careful when you get divine favor and God gives you favor and you go out and buy several jets and live in a $14, $15 million house and you think, well, the Lord just blessed me. No, you just blessed yourself. Be careful, because Saul went up to set a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, oh, Samuel, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Are you kidding me, Saul? You see, what happened is pride blinds you. It brings a spirit of deception. It makes you a liar. You see, he spoke a half a truth. Yes, he destroyed half the people and half of the stuff he kept for himself. No, he didn't. So here is Saul immediately, and I'm telling you, I've been saved a long time. So you find these Christians that say, yeah, but you know what? Listen, I go to church once in a while. And, you know, I pay my tithe wherever I want to. I give my tithe to the homeless. Well, you know, I don't have to pay my tithe. God doesn't need my money. You're right. God doesn't need your money. He needs your heart. But your money is connected to your heart. And the tithe belongs to the Lord. Well, I meet God wherever I want to, up on the mountains. You know, I'm doing what God said. I read my Bible at home. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Saul went up to Carmel, and indeed, he set up a monument for himself. You see, Saul became his own God. Saul said, I don't have to do what God wants me to do. I can do what I think is right. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel, the prophet, went to Saul. And Saul said to Samuel the prophet, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel the prophet said to Saul, what then is this? What is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, that's another sign of those that are full of pride. They blame other people for something they've done wrong. Well, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, Samuel, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Are you kidding? You're going to give the prophet an excuse? You see, so many people have an excuse for when they do wrong. Well, you know what? I got angry. I got upset. And it's not my fault I went out drinking. You know, he made me mad. She made me mad. You know, it's not my fault. If they wouldn't have argued with me, I would have never went out and got drunk and act like an idiot. You see, there are so many excuses. Well, they made me do it. Well, the reason I left that church is because, you know what? Somebody made me mad. Wah, wah, wah. Somebody get a diaper for that Christian baby. And somebody get a great big baby bottle because they're going to need one. You know what? Listen, Christianity is not for wimps. Christianity is to say, you know what? I take responsibility for what I've done wrong, and I am sorry, and I'm not going to blame anybody. Saul could not see because he was blinded by the demonic spirit of pride. And pride has blinded our nation. And Satan was cast out of God's kingdom for his evil thoughts of pride. He wanted to exalt himself above the word of God. You know, Lucifer didn't care about God. God, he was a created being, and God set him in a position. He was beautiful. He was glorious. You know, Bible says sometimes, I don't know if it's really true, he was in charge of worship. He said these stringed instruments. I don't know. I can't tell you yes or no, but one thing I know is that when he began to say, I'm going to put myself above the throne of God, God said, not my throne, not on my watch. And you know what? They kicked his little rumpus bumpus right out of the throne of God. And I can just imagine him, and look how deceptive he was. How many angels are in heaven? Do you remember the Bible? 10,000 upon 10,000 times 10,000 times. There are so many angels we can't even count. But Satan, Lucifer, was so deceiving. He was able to deceive a third of the angels. A third of the angels. And he was cast down to the earth. And so let me tell you something. We have to fight against that demonic force of pride that's plagued our nation. Why do you think the homosexual LGBTQ community marches by the thousands in the streets in arrogance against God's creation? God created them male and female. And God blessed them and told them to multiply. You see, I'm sorry, but the LGBTQ homosexual, they do not produce, they recruit. And we're watching that thing go like a plague across our nation. And we're watching even the churches that are opening up that demonic unclean, lying spirit of pride to enter into the congregations. You see, Saul, you know what? God told him what to do, but Saul made excuses. It said, then Samuel said to Saul, shut up. That's a King James Version. The NIV says, be quiet. And then Samuel, the prophet, said to Saul, be quiet. I don't know about you, when the prophet tells you to shut up, God's getting ready to say something. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And Samuel said, and Saul said to Samuel, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone on a mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of the Amalekites. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people, it was the people took the plunder. People took of the plunder the sheep, the oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice. You see, there's those excuses. But you know what? You don't understand. We did destroy. You don't understand. God and I have this relationship. You don't understand. No, you got to line up your life to the word. You can't make excuses for doing wrong. Well, we're kind of married. No, there ain't no such thing as kind of married. You're living together, you're fornicating, and you're going straight to hell on a grease pole. You got to get married. And you know what? And if they're already married, then you know what? You need to get out of that relationship, and you need to run 90 miles an hour away from that person. Like, you know what? Like the devil's chasing you. You need to run to the cross of Calvary, fall on your knees, and repent. Do not give yourself over. Ladies, do not let men manipulate you. Men, do not let the lady that smells nice and pretty and she comes to you at work and she leans over your desk and she smells all pretty and says, you know what? I wish I had a husband like you. You're so... Run, man. You know what? Or just look at her and just say, you know what? Do you see this ring on my hand? It's called happily married. Get your hands off of me. You know what? You cannot allow yourself to enter into excuses in your head because Saul had excuses in his head. Ooh, was the Lord angry? Yes. You see, Saul began to blame the people. You're listening to my program today, and who are you blaming because of your pride? Who are you blaming that you're not in church anymore? You got confronted, you got corrected, you got mad, and you ran off to another church. Then you told that church, well, you should have seen what they did to me at that church. Oh my gosh, it was so terrible. No, you're full of pride, and you hated correction, you hated direction, and you ran like a little puppy with his tail between his legs because of your pride. And you run around from church to church to church, hoping somebody will come in agreement with you. But I'm telling you what, let me tell you what pastors need to do. When people run to your church and suddenly they're the victim, but you don't understand, I did do all that God wanted me to do, but you know what, they didn't appreciate me. When they run to you, pastor, and they, you know what, I would pick up that phone and I would call the pastor. I'd say, you know what, I got this person that just came to my church, and I just found out they left your church. Can you tell me a little bit of history there so I know what I'm looking at? But you know what? A lot of times, pastors don't do that. Why not? Because sometimes they're desperate. They're desperate for musicians. They're desperate for worship leaders. They're desperate for people in their church. They're desperate for finances. They're desperate. You know what? Don't get desperate because of pride. You need to knock that pride right out the door. And you know what you need to tell that person? You need to get your little rumpus back there where you belong, and you need to get that right. You see, Saul, hang in there. Do not give in. I'm telling you, next couple days, I'm gonna head this up. God hates pride. I'm here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday every single day. You don't want to miss. Jesus set us free. We don't have to live in the bondage of pride. I promise you. Jesus humbled himself, and he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. And I'm telling you today, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. What happened to Saul? Do-do-do-do. Stay tuned tomorrow for part three. I love you. I'm Dr. Luana. This is A Touch From Above. Thank you so much for joining me. And don't forget, we're a listener-supported program, so send your gift in to support us. God bless you. I love you, and you're important to God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Luana Stein's. Give online at A Touch From Above. .org.
A Touch From Above would like to invite you to our conference in May. When your heart is hit, don't quit. May 23rd, 24th, 25th. The cost is $225. For $225, you'll receive lodging for two nights and meals for the entire conference. The Word of God says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Dr. Luana will be speaking throughout the whole weekend. She will share her experience in ministry. Through much heartache, she never quit. Are you weary and need encouragement, direction? Come and join us May 23rd, 24th, 25th. There's limited space and limited cabins, so you need to call and sign up as soon as possible. 760-315-1967. 760-315-1967. Or visit atouchfromabove.org. God bless you.
A Mother's Story, a compelling book by Dr. Luana Steins, tells her heart-gripping story of how God can rescue even the least likely in the deepest trial and bring about his plan for her life. A single mother with a murdered husband who battled cancer and overcame impossible odds. Only God could perform such a rescue and bring about his plan for her life, and he can do it for you. This story by Dr. Luana Steins will inspire you and give you hope. Get your copy today for only $19.95 online at atouchfromabove.org or by calling 760-315-1967. That's 760-315-1967. A Mother's Story.
Are you distracted? Seems like everything gets in the way? Come to A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 25 beautiful acres. Walk up to the cross or relax in a small private cabin to pray. Bring your leaders to pray. At Prayer Mountain, God answers prayer. Even Jesus had to get away to pray. Call today and make your reservation, 760-315-1967. Your answer is just a prayer away. atouchfromabove.org.
Like the ravages of a flood, but I call on the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. I have victory over Satan. Glory to the King of Kings.
Are you a woman called of God? Have you been told over and over women can't preach? Are you confused about the scripture in Timothy? You know you are called, but don't know how to step into your ministry. Order Dr. Luana's book, A Woman Called of God. She brings clear understanding of the scriptures and why women can preach. You will read how Satan tried to stop her, to keep her from stepping into her calling. Dr. Luana is called to train and equip thousands of women to step into their full-time ministry, to fulfill their call as a woman called of God. You can order her book today, A Woman Called of God. Go to our website, atouchfromabove.org, or call 760-315-1967. We are so grateful for you listening, and we thank God for your support. May God richly bless you.